Open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. We are in this study that is titled Called, and we're looking at some of the great calling texts in Scripture. And we're asking the question of what it means to live a called life. And I'm going to argue this morning that it starts early, that you were called first thing. My grandmother had a lot of grandchildren, and I honestly am not even sure how many. But the only thing I really knew for sure was that I was her favorite. And I felt a little bad for the other grandkids, honestly, because my grandma showed love. She showed affection for them, but she and I, we both knew I was her favorite. The truth of the matter is, every child wants and needs to understand that they are special. But the problem is that most kids let the world and peers and social media define for them what special means. And it is a definition that guarantees disappointment. Because almost from the moment that you are born, the world is going to tell you that if you want to be special, you need to look better than somebody else, or you need to do something better than somebody else, because performance and appearance define who the special people are. And it is a recipe for disaster because, frankly, most of us as young people knew we didn't do things better than most. We didn't look better than most. And even if we did, time is going to take that away from us. So we've got to tell our children a different story. The Bible says our specialness is found only in God. And it begins with knowing that you were called first thing. I want to look into our text beginning in verse 1 of Jeremiah 1. It says this: "The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anatoth in the territory of Benjamin." First thing we know about Jeremiah is that he is a PK. He is a priest's kid. And that's going to be important. So skip down now with me to verse 4 in Jeremiah 1. Let's read from that point. "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.' 'Ah, sovereign Lord,' I said, 'I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say, whatever I command you, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.'" Now, if you were a PK in Jeremiah's day, you already knew what you were going to do for a living. Your father was a priest, and his father was a priest, and his father was a priest, and you were going to be a priest. And so Jeremiah just assumed that he would transition smoothly into the family business. He wasn't trying to be, he wasn't wanting to be a prophet. For some very good reasons, actually. For one thing, priests got paid. Prophets did not. If you were a priest, the sacrifices and the offerings that the people brought to the temple became your salary. And you had an income. Prophets did not have an income. On top of that, the priest, basically ran the external trappings of the religious system of Israel. They kept the sacrifices going. They collected the tithe. You really did not have to challenge people's hearts. You just had to keep the system going. But the prophet was called by God to speak to people's hearts, to call them to confess, to call them to repent. You see, there's a reason why you never read about people stoning priests. They kill prophets, because prophets convict. So Jeremiah tries to hang up on God's call, citing what we often cite: a lack of competence, a lack of experience. First, Lord, I don't know how to speak. That's not my gift. And besides, I'm too young. No one's going to listen to me anyway. And God's strong word to Jeremiah was, young man, I don't make mistakes. I know what I'm doing when I call you. You see, the issue is not age, and the issue is not adequacy. The issue is whether or not God has given you a mission and a message. Now, this hits me too, because I started as a baby preacher, and immediately the criticism I heard more than any other was, you're too young to preach to us. Now, I didn't get that feedback if I preached encouraging messages on how to be happy and how to find joy. But if I ever preached a prophetic message on how you need to repent and you need to get your life in line with the Word of God, the criticism was always, he's not old enough to tell us like that. Now, the truth is, when you are a young preacher, you probably do say a lot of dumb things and probably do deserve a lot of criticism. But the issue needs to be, has God given the man a word? Has God touched his lips? Because if it is the word of God, it doesn't matter how old the man is. So God says to Jeremiah, my word is going to come to pass, not because you are powerful, but because my word is. A lot of us sense a call from God, and we're not thrilled to get the call. Like Jeremiah, we're chilled when we get the call, because our view of ourselves has convinced ourselves that God has somehow made a mistake. And what we must do is let God's view of us transcend our own imperfect comprehension of us. Do you know God had his eyes on you before you even had eyes? You were called first thing. And I'm convinced that if we would teach this principle early and often, our children would get the proper understanding of what it actually means to be special. And it would be a powerful influence to combat the lies that they are told from our culture from the moment of their birth. You see, one thing that they need to hear, God said to Jeremiah, is this: you are not an accident. You see, culture conspires to explain life in a way that robs us of all significance. And our children are taught early and often that they are just the product of a couple billion years worth of pond scum. Now, we don't know where the pond scum came from. There was lightning, and we don't know where the lightning came from either. And there was an explosion, and you came. That, they say, is the sensible understanding of life. And if that is true, then life really does not have much significance, does it? It is the great hypocrisy of what we are telling our kids. We tell them, you came from nothing. You're going back to nothing. Now, don't be a nothing. God says, you are not a cosmic accident. You are a masterpiece I formed myself. Look at verse 5 again, the first part. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God said that. That word formed in the Old Testament, it's the word for a potter that would take a lump of clay and make it into something beautiful, something useful. And this is the consistent message of the Bible. David sings in Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And in a culture that worships appearance and sets a standard that teens literally kill themselves to try to meet, they need to hear this. You are a masterpiece of God. Jill Briscoe and her husband had a ministry in England before they moved to America. And when they lived in England, they knew a couple that had tried for years to get pregnant but could not. He worked at a factory, and none of the workers where he worked were Christians. And he would tell them that he and his wife were praying that she would someday get pregnant. And they would mock him because of his faith. And one day she did get pregnant. And he rushed to tell them how excited they were that God has actually answered their prayers. But 9 months later, the child was born, and their child had Down syndrome. And the mocking from his co-workers that he expected came very quickly. "So God gave you a baby like that, huh?" "He prayed for wisdom," Jill said. And he told them, "Yes, and I'm so glad God gave him to us and not to you." No child is just a child. Each child is a creature that God intends to do something glorious and great through, because God does not make mistakes. This means before it ever crossed your mind to consider that God might be important, he had already decided that you were. He did not wait to see how you turned out before he called you. You were called first thing. So the question today is, are you going to take up the life for which you were destined in the womb, or are you going to tragically defect from it? You see, the second thing that God said to Jeremiah is that you are not your own. God called Jeremiah to a greater reason than just working, going to church, retiring, and dying. And nothing's changed. Now, granted, if you are just a lump of matter, then what you do with your life really doesn't matter. No matter how much the humanist tries to tell you it does matter, if you're just a lump of matter, it doesn't really matter what you do with your life. But the Bible says you were born on purpose for a purpose. You are not an accident. God does not make mistakes. He knew you in the womb, and you are here for a reason. You don't belong to yourself. You never have. You never will. You see, this is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." When God was shaping your body in your mother's womb, it was to give you a temple to honor him. God does not exist to make your life easy. You exist to make God look good. And the great temptation is for the world to seduce you into spending your life into trivial pursuits. My great concern for my kids is not that the challenges of their life will be too big. It is that the goals in their life will be too small, that they would seek something in their life beside the kingdom of God. You see, twice God said to Jeremiah, I appointed you before you were born. And the word appoint means give. Literally, it is, I gave your life away before you saw the light of day. He can do that because he's the one who made it in the first place. And listen, if that is true, then we betray our very reason for being if we buy into the culture that says that we basically exist to consume. Most people in our culture make consuming the purpose of life. How big of a house do you have? How new is your car? How much do you have in your IRA? And if I collect, then I did life well. And God says from the very beginning, I did not form you to see how much you could get. I formed you to be a gift. What did you contribute to the world? What did you do for other people? That's why you were made. Young people need to hear this over and over and over again. Culture's seduction is so strong. Rufus Jones, well-known writer and Quaker preacher, in his autobiography, he talks about the day that was a turning point in his life. His folks had gone into town. He told him to stay home and pull weeds out of the turnip patch. Well, some buddies came along and said, Rufus, we're going fishing. Come with us. No, I can't. I got to stay and weed the turnip patch. Well, just come fishing with us, and when we get through, we'll come back and we'll help you weed. So he took off. And everybody knew it's hard. Everybody knows, I should say, it's hard to keep track of time when you're fishing, especially if the fish are biting. And Rufus didn't get back until after dark. His mom and dad were back from town, and he fully expected to be punished. He didn't put up a word of protest. His mother said, go straight to your room. We expected a whipping. He knew he deserved it. Instead, she sat him down in a chair. He expected a lecture. He didn't hear it. She began to pray over him. She began to pray all of her dreams and her hopes for him. And he remembered that she ended her prayer this way. Oh God, take this boy and make him the man he was divinely designed to be. And then he said, she kissed me, and she left me alone in that room in the silence with God. Do you realize God chose you before you ever chose God? And as Gandalf said, I think that is an encouraging thought. Knowing that there are other forces at work, that you exist for a reason, that you're part of a bigger story, that you don't keep score the way the world does. Finally, God said to Jeremiah, just remember this, you are not alone. God did not give Jeremiah an easy task, but he did give him a hard and fast promise. Look at verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. God knew that when Jeremiah learned that he was called first thing, that Jeremiah was going to battle fear first thing. God knew the first thing Jeremiah needed to hear was, do not be afraid. Fear is the number one reason we get a call from God and then we hang up. Fear of risk, fear of inadequacy, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of abandonment, fear of sacrifice, fear of criticism, fear of being misunderstood. And if we let our fears direct our lives, then we will be steered down a path of safe, sanitized, and boring commitment to trivial pursuits. I believe what we all need is a legitimate fear that will cancel out all of the unworthy ones. I've been with people at their bedside who have been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I'm telling you, friend, they don't worry what's in their bank account if they can pay all of their bills this month. You see, when you know that you are living in your calling, you are going to experience the presence of God in ways so real that it is very hard for the world to seduce and scare you anymore. I love the New Living Translation's rendering of the beginning of the book of Jude. It says, "This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I'm writing to all who have been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ." Friend, this kind of assurance God wants for all of us. That's where your specialness comes from. That's why you were called first thing. And I hope that you take this nugget away from you. You see, calling begins at birth. I know some of us, we didn't hear the call until we were much, much older. But that wasn't because God did not call before then. We just weren't listening. Calling begins at birth. They asked the poet William Stafford one time, "When did you start being a poet?" He said, "Wrong question. Every child is born fascinated by words. He wants to learn words and delight in the sound of words. He wants to put words together. I just kept doing what everyone else stopped doing. The question is not, when did I start being a poet? The question is, when did you stop?" Every child wants to believe, needs to believe that they are special. But if they listen to the story of the world, they will stop believing that, because you cannot stay special by the way the world defines that word. They need to hear a different story. They need to know that they were called first thing, that they were known in the womb, and that they are here for a reason. You say, "Well, that was just for Jeremiah." Really? Was Jeremiah's call the exception, or could it possibly be the norm? Listen to Isaiah. "Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, He has made mention of my name." Listen to what Paul said. "But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by His marvelous grace." Now, it took him a while to find out, but Paul says, "I was called through His grace before I was even born." One of the first things the church must do for our kids is tell them, "You are called first thing." For the last 20 years, almost all of the babies in our church got to see my face either on the first day they were here or on the second day they were here. And I have been privileged to be able to pray a blessing over these newborn babies. And my prayer would be for their steps to be completely in line with Jesus and for their ears to hear clearly the call of God on their life. Every child wants to know where they came from and why they are here. And the search for those answers can only be found correctly here in the church. And you need to know that the answer to those questions, it's not like a Rorschach test where there is no wrong answer. In fact, there's only one right answer, and that right answer is going to teach that child to answer the greatest and only important call that God gives to their life. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you have a decision to make this morning, would you stand up as we get ready to sing?